Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to English with Fraser, the podcast that helps you level up your English whilst having a laugh along the way. Today's episode is a bit of a special one. It's about my recent trip to Lisbon in Portugal, or Lisboa, as the locals say. Lisbon is a city of sunshine, seafood, statues, and a few funny moments when you're there with friends. This isn't a travel guide, and I do not claim to be a tour guide. This is just a story of one great and fairly chaotic weekend in one of Europe's most beautiful cities. A weekend filled with history, fun, and my friend who fell down the staircase. Now, I've just finished eating one of those Buldak black packets of hot chicken noodles before recording this, so my mouth's actually a little bit hot still. Probably not the best idea I've ever had, but let's get started and dive into my trip to Lisbon.
How do you say another pint, please, in Portuguese, old boy? We've got exploring to do.
Part 1. Our first impressions and history. Our story begins in the heart of Lisbon, a city that immediately grabs you by the senses. The red rooftops, the salty breeze from the River Tagus, the sound of tram bells and fado music echoing through the cobbled streets. Lisbon is one of the oldest cities in Europe, even older than Rome, would you know? It's been invaded by Romans, Visigoths, Moors, and of course, English stag do's. Now, a stag do is when people go on holiday before their friend gets married. So a stag do is the male equivalent and the hen do is the female equivalent. So say your friend's about to get married, you'll go on one big weekend before, drink a lot of alcohol, behave bad, very British. But back to Lisbon. You can see layers of its history as you walk through the streets, medieval castles, 18th century plazas. But naturally, when we arrived, we went straight to the Airbnb. Now the host said he would meet us there, so not to worry, as he can give us the keys. So me and my friends arrived, it was me and four others, so the five of us arrived. And the host was there, called João. So we said, hello, João, how are you? Exchanged pleasantries. And he said, let me give you a little tour of the flat. So we said, oh, that's nice, João. Yeah, go on then, we can do that. So João gave us a tour, a fairly long tour. So we thought it would just be a quick 5 minutes. 15-minute tour of the flat, explaining how to use the shower, how to use the kitchen, which windows to shut, who should sit where, who should sleep where, if the fan works, etc, etc. And then my friend started asking him about local food places he could recommend. So he recommended us a few. And then one of my friends asked him if one of the Michelin-starred restaurants did good prawns. And João said, sorry, I'm not a maitre d' working front of a house. You'd have to find that out yourself. So fair enough, and João kept talking, and in the end we were speaking to João for about 40 minutes. So in an attempt to get away from him and sort of leave, we said, okay João, we're going now. So we all left, and then as we left, João was saying, oh, I also have to go to the supermarket. So we left the flat, and João came along with us, and we were joking, saying, you're not hungry, João, we're going to get some food, why don't you come and join us? In the end, we didn't, and he left. So It was nice to see Jao, but I've never had a host that sort of stayed with you for 45 minutes when you check into the flat. And Jao will reappear later in one of our stories on this podcast. So after arrival, and after saying goodbye, finally, to Jao, we decided to get some food. So it was quite early, I think it was about 5 o'clock, and restaurants on the continent tend to open and serve food a bit later. People tend to eat dinner sort of 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Whereas in the UK, we're used to having dinner sort of 6 o'clock, maybe 7 o'clock, if you're going out to a restaurant. So we got there quite early and decided to go for the tasting menu. Now, this was actually my first ever tasting menu, I think. So we had bottomless drinks, 5-course tasting menu. And at each course, if you liked it, you could ask for even more and they bring it out. All this for 40 euros. Really good deal. Fairly expensive, but honestly, it was the best meal I had when I was there. And there was one discovery I made. So it was the first time I'd ever had cuttlefish. So I had this cuttlefish there. It was absolutely unbelievable. Beautiful bit of cuttlefish. The consistency was almost like a squeaky cheese. And when I say squeaky cheese, I mean sort of a paneer, that Indian cheese, or halloumi. So it was that sort of consistency, but it was so soft. The meat was so good. So thanks to going to Lisbon, I discovered that cuttlefish is one of my favourite fish. Maybe even number one. Superb.
Lisbon's lovely. But I still say nothing beats a proper bit of battered cod and chips, old boy.
Part 2. Exploring the streets of Lisbon. Now let me tell you something, dear listeners, about Lisbon. It is not a flat city. Oh no. So that means, yes, it's a very hilly city. Ups and downs. Very hilly. It has more hills than a Game of Thrones family tree. So we wandered through the Alfama district. Might have been saying that wrong. Apologies to any Portuguese listeners. Muito bom. Very beautiful, old and slightly crumbly, with colourful washing hanging from balconies like flags of domestic battles. And eventually, we met one of my friend's friends. So one of my friends there studied in France on the Erasmus programme. The Erasmus programme is part of an initiative made by the EU, where if you live in the EU, at the time we did, this was before Brexit, everyone, you could study in another member state, so another European country, for a semester or a year for free. Almost like an exchange. So imagine exchange student. So my friend studied in France, and in France he met this Portuguese guy, and this Portuguese guy was from Lisbon. So we ended up meeting him on one of the days, and he turned out to be a really nice guy, really lovely. It was good to talk to, but it was absolutely perfect because we had a local with us who showed us around, answered any questions we had, could translate things, talk to other locals. But you'll certainly know you're in Lisbon when you're walking uphill, but it feels like you're going downhill and then you're going back uphill again. But actually, it is all worth it. Unbelievable. Beautiful scenery there. You've got local markets filled with colour. You've got people selling clothes, people selling souvenirs. Obviously, you've got the Portuguese chicken. I did ask the Portuguese guy about the chicken, but I can't remember his answer. So maybe my Portuguese listeners can tell me what the chicken means, the cultural importance of the chicken, the Portuguese chicken. And also, we found this massive human-sized panda dancing in the square. And at the time, it was so hot. It must have been nearly 30 degrees. And we were saying, how much would you have to be paid to go inside that panda costume in 30 degrees and just stand there, wave at people? The poor chap must have been sweating buckets, so to speak. So what did we see in Lisbon? I'll tell you now about my top three sights to see in Lisbon. Firstly, Statue of Saint Vicente. Now, Saint Vicente, you'll find his statue standing tall above the rooftops of Lisbon, holding a boat and some ravens. Now, why is this? Legend says the two ravens are to protect his body when it was brought to Lisbon in the 12th century. Raven bodyguards. You couldn't make that up. From this viewpoint, you can see all of Alfama and the river glistening in the distance. It's the perfect place to reflect on life, on love, and on the importance of drinking water when it's 30 degrees out. Then we have Prazza do Comercio. Kind of sounded a bit Italian, sorry. Now that's the huge square in the middle of Lisbon, right on front of the river that goes into the sea. Now we went here a few times and this was probably our favourite place to go. Huge, majestic, perched right on the riverfront. It used to be the gateway to Portugal's golden age of exploration. Back in the day, ships would set sail from here to Africa, India, and beyond. Now, of course, it is just full of tourists, buskers, and some guy selling roses for probably 10 euros, so you can buy one and be extra romantic to your partner.
Stunning views, strong tea, and a love of naval glory. Portugal's practically a cousin of the British Empire, old boy.
And of course, we need a big shout out to Superbock, the local beer, the local lager. Now, this was pretty much the only beer they sold around. So you've got to appreciate the patriotism of the Portuguese. It's very admirable, I would say. Now, in the square, we had one of those massive beer towers that they claim is 2 litres, although in reality I would say it was maybe 1.5 litres. So that big tower, and then you've got the tap at the bottom, and you turn the tap and the beer comes out. But that was great fun, all sat at a table in the square, sunglasses on, sipping Superbock, with the feeling we have truly deserved this holiday. Now the last place that I'd recommend to see, and I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly, Castelo de São Jorge, which is, I think, the castle of St. George, if my Portuguese isn't too bad. Now, this is the big one, so to speak. Castelo de São Jorge is a medieval castle that sits proudly on the highest hill in Lisbon, looking over the entire city like a king watching his kingdom. Originally built by the Moors in the 11th century, it was later taken by the Portuguese during the Christian Reconquest. It's been a royal palace, a military barracks, which is a place where the army stay and they keep supplies for the army. That's what barracks means. And they train soldiers there. And now, a fantastic viewpoint for all tourists and the peacocks that strut around like they own the place. Now, trust me, climbing the hill here was definitely worth it to take in those gorgeous views and enjoy a little piece of Lisbon's ancient soul. But perhaps eat lunch after. Don't eat lunch before and then go up all those hills. That was a workout in itself, especially when it was 30 degrees.
Lovely palaces here in Portugal, but let's be honest. Nobody does castles like Britain. Ours come with ghosts, legends, and the odd dragon tale, old boy.
Part 3. The final night. So, it was the last night of a 3-night holiday. My friend had just attempted the Mars bar challenge when he said he could eat 12 Mars bars. I think he did 3 and gave up. But you can't be harsh on a man for trying, can you? So then we did some wine tasting at a local sort of wine place. That was really nice. Had some good, nice drops of wine there. I'm no expert, but it certainly tasted good. Then we went back to the flat for some more drinks. And after, I think we had a curry, which isn't very Portuguese, but sometimes us Brits got to find a curry house, whichever country we're in. So we were getting back on the drinks at the flat, making a bit of noise, listening to some music. And then we hear a knock at the door. So we check the door. It's only Zhao again. So Zhao pops in. We're surprised to see him. He said, "Boys, can you turn the music down? The neighbours are complaining." So my friend said, "Oh, okay, yeah, of course we will." And he says, "Do you live in the neighbourhood, Zhao?" And Zhao says, "Yeah, I live next door, son." So we found it hilarious that Zhao owned the flat and also the flat next door. So when he was saying, "The neighbours are complaining," what he meant was he could hear it. But bless him, Zhao was funny. We will always remember Zhao. And then on the way from the flat to the town centre, because we were going to go out, drink more, maybe go dancing, nightclub, typical stuff. One of my friends tried to push the other friend. So the other friend, I think, tried to retaliate and tried to kick him back, missed, and ended up falling down the stairs and just laying at the bottom of the stairwell. And he ended up injuring his ankle quite bad. So he had a bad ankle, had an injury. But we just found it so funny, and we got a photo. And the reason it was so funny is he was sat at the bottom of the staircase, and he just had sunglasses on inside. 10 o'clock at night, sunglasses on. Madman. But every story has that moment of reflection, that moment of madness. But he will remain unnamed for legal reasons. And to finish, I can't forget to mention, we did try the Portuguese egg custard tart pastry. Pastel de nata. Really nice. I usually don't like egg custard or cold custard, but these were so good. Unbelievable. I do believe they're the national, not dish, but national dessert, national pudding of Portugal. So good. Really recommend them. We had like a authentic one from a local bakery, and that was probably the best food I had on the trip. Apart from the cuttlefish, of course. That cuttlefish was so good.
Ah, Lisbon, a city of explorers, sailors, and apparently plenty of hills. But let's get something straight, old boy. When in a foreign land, always carry 3 things: water, dignity, and a vague idea of where your Airbnb is. God save Lisbon, and God save your liver.
That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.